What is going on? Can you... While I'm doing the intro.
You're the one who got rambunctious and started. You didn't even ask if I was ready.
You said that you're ready. You were ready to leave.
Yeah. That's not ready. That's on you.
Okay, we're doing this again. There's the cold. There's the cold open. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Little. We can't do the cold open. I can't remember what episode it is.
204. It literally says that right up yonder.
It legitimately does not. You know, we haven't had a good cold open in a while. It is 204.
I know. I just.
I have to. You know. Carl told me last week to make sure to check on you to make sure. It's on your end, not mine. You have
that's your problem. Become a producer.
Okay.
Where's our producer to actually produce us?
With his wife and child. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 204 of Literate Lessons. This is the first time that we've tried recording this opening, and I'm joined by Carter this week. How are you doing, buddy?
You're a terrible liar. it's been a good week. So Thursday was my birthday.
Happy birthday. Belated, even though I texted you that on Thursday.
You did.
Like a good friend. And
Wednesday, we went and got a puppy.
Oh yeah, I saw that you sent that. Like, where's the puppy pics in like the Brain Trust chat?
I've sent a handful, haven't I?
None. Zero. Okay.
You know what? Just for that, I'm gonna go dump zilch. Every picture I have right now. So Carl can probably throw that. One in.
Do that.
I What's am right now. Name? What's the puppy's her name? Her name is Lily. She's adorable. I love her.
That's my dog's. Well, my parents' dog's name, but I love a Lily. One L or two L's?
One L.
Okay. Ours is two.
And she is absolutely adorable.
We always need a Lily in the a dog named Lily in the Literary Lessons family.
There you go. I just sent 9 photos. You can't complain anymore.
There we go. I didn't get any of them yet, but I will check.
It's when... sending all of them. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that's been my week. Is trying to manage a puppy. It's been really. She's actually been really really good. All things considered, for a 2-month-old puppy, she's been fantastic. So yeah,
that's awesome.
That's my life. That's how my week has been.
Yeah, for me, yesterday I went to a PC in Plainfield, which was super cool. It was the first Pokemon event that I've been to first VGC event I've been to where I didn't need to drive at least an hour to get to the venue. It was like a nice like 20-minute drive down the street. I went 3-2 with the Blood Moon Giraffe team that's been commonly going down the same team that Joey ran last week, and I bubbled a cut in 9th place by 1 percentage point of resistance. It happens.
Yep. I remember my years of magic grinding. That was a very common occurrence. Not for me. I either made top cut or I died, and there was no in between. Yeah, I've never had the misfortune of being Bubble Boy. So.
Oh no, I was Bubble Boy, but I was brought down to earth a little because my round 5 opponent, Brendan Fuller, We played a mirror match, but I was saying like, oh, I bubbled, and he's like, could be worse. I bubbled San Antonio, and I'm like, oh no. Which, like, I'm just throwing this out there, like, how good, like, New England PCs are. Like, you just had, like, 9th place at San Antonio. I didn't even recognize the guy. Like, you had already had, like, so many great players. Adrian, like literally, there's just so much talent, and that's, like, not including the good players who didn't come.
That's not counting the good people.
Well, like Sohaib didn't, like, Sohaib was supposed to come. He didn't show up. We didn't get Jacob there because they had, they got a case of the vid, like, 2 or 3 days before.
So, yeah, that was me at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. No, it's like, there's so much talent that, like, the talent didn't show up, and there was still, like, a ton of talent. Speaking of talent, there's a lot of talented players who play Pokemon in well, I was going to say Europe, but
yeah, that would be accurate.
It's technically they left the Union, but they're still technically Europe. Liverpool. So it is the third regulation F regional, and going right into the day one usage. It's
is it third or fourth?
Third.
Yeah, you're right. We didn't have any.
Wait. Yeah, we had Portland, Charlotte, Liverpool. Yeah, it's third.
I was thinking we had one in the first weekend of the year, which is not accurate.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, no, it's what do you think so far of the day one usage? Like so, let's
talk. I didn't get to come on last week because Sunday, the normal day we record, was my roommate's birthday. So I'm like, hey, I'm gonna take the week off if you can find someone. And you're like, yeah, I got this. And Jay was at an Islanders game, right?
Yeah, he was at an Islanders ticket. Game. Yeah, they won in overtime. He was pretty pumped.
Double overtime, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, which Jay is not with us today because things happened in the football game, and we're going to just send a wellness check out after we're done recording.
But yeah, so I think the evolution of the format is actually kind of what I really expected. I think that moving into Charlotte, there was a lot of just like priority spam with like Chien Pao, and you had both Urshifu forms starting to pop up. You have Thunderclap coming off from like Raging Bolt. Entei was really popular. Just, you know, a lot of E-Speed, a lot of Sucker Punches, a lot of, you know, just priority moves. So seeing Ferrigaraf really pop up in popularity and do well at that tournament was something that I thought was just a natural evolution of the format. When you compare Ferrigaraf to something like Serena or Bruxish, for some reason, like being able to shut off priority on a Pokemon that actually has like pretty significant stats. Bulk and like can actually put out a non-zero amount of damage, as well as just like having speed utility in the form of like Trick Room, it makes Ferrigaraf really appealing. There's a lot of things that that what it is doing is checking a lot of boxes for a lot of teams. So to see it in what, seventh here for day one usage is not really surprising to me. Because I don't remember Charlotte's usage, but I don't think Giraffe was that high.
It wasn't in the 20s, but it was a top.
It was 12.
Top 12.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I know that at Portland, it was also a day one top 12. I think when we do inevitably get to the day two usage, I think really the big difference of now compared to Portland, Ferrigaraf had a terrible conversion rate day one to day two in Portland, and it's still there. It's still in the top 12 for day two in Charlotte. Not Charlotte, I'm sorry. And I think it was Charlotte and Liverpool. Like, Giraffe was still there. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's not only have people realized, yeah, this is a really great Pokemon, that's a really great call for this metagame that works super well with a lot of things, but we're also figuring out the exact way to use it and to win with it.
Yeah, exactly. So the fact that, like, you have psychic coverage to be able to hit water Urshifu for super effective damage, I think is relevant. Hyper Voice is just like a good move to spam into anything that's not named exactly Fluttermane. And being able to have basically a one-sided form of psychic terrain is very good. I know we saw a non-zero amount of like size spam teams coming up last week in Portland. No, in Charlotte last week. With like Iron Crown and DD, so, you know, just shutting off all priority is good, but I think making it where one-sided priority is even better is just, you know, it literally is just better. The fact that, like, you compare this next to Rillaboom and still click your grassy glides as opposed to your opponent just sitting there going, well, I guess I can't go for fake out, I can't go for my grassy glides, I can't sucker punch you. Suddenly, I'm at a huge disadvantage of, like, speed priority because these priority-based moves that I was planning my team around, I'm no longer able to fully utilize like I wanted to. So then, you know, being able to outpace something like Fluttermane being the fastest thing in the format and just going, well, I'm going to hit you before you hit me and you can't do anything about that is really good. It's I love, I'm really starting to like the giraffe, man. It's really starting to grow on me.
Yeah, I've been, as our listeners know, long-time giraffe fan, huge giraffe fan. Each week I'm becoming a bigger giraffe fan. It's the perfect Pokemon for the format. And as you see some of the other Pokemon that have popped up in this top 12 usage, you can see it's directly because of the giraffe. Single Strike Urshifu overtaking Rapid Strike Urshifu in day one usage because you immediately threaten the Wicked Blow onto Fuegoraph to force it into the Terra. And Amoongus, which is always a really solid Pokemon, again, returning to the top 12 as one of the best count, like single Mon counters to the Fuegoraph Blood Moon comps that have been very, very popular and very, very oppressive in the entirety of this metagame. And yesterday I did face, it was a Gen Knight team with Amoongus, and it was really difficult because for me, because I kind of couldn't do the Trick Room stuff and bring the giraffe, because the second I did that and I set the Trick Room, Amoongus just has a safe switch in if they can call the Trick Room turn, and now everything's asleep and I'm actually trying to play. I would have stall out my own Trick Room to try to get rid of the Amoongus.
So, I think the other like big thing I kind of want to talk on is how popular Wellspring Mask is as opposed to Hearthflame. And I think that this is kind of just leaning into that same idea of the format has developed a lot compared to when Ogre Pond was first introduced in Reg E. And I think that, you know, in early format days, hyper offense is king, right? When people are trying to develop for a format, it's what can hit the hardest the fastest. And the fact that we've gotten now into a format where, you know, things are kind of starting to settle, but not really. Like, there's still a lot of development left for this format. I genuinely do think that. But the evolution of the current format is getting to the point where these balanced teams are going to be more prominent, which is, I mean, if you look at the finals of the match this weekend, I mean, it was literally a balanced mirror, right? So to see the more defensive version of Ogre Pond here is the most popular is not really surprising to me. I do think that it lines up pretty okay against a lot of the big threats, especially if you do get to use your Terra on it. You can, getting that one, plus one special defense boost means that, like, you can kind of sit in front of, you can take at least a hit from Fluttermane and then threaten a pretty big, like, damage back with an IV Cudgel, and that's ignoring potential for, like, a crit on it as well, because it's a high crit move. So I think that's, like, the only other thing here that I think is pretty notable, if you want my opinion here. King Gambit has had a good weekend in Charlotte last week. It had a pretty okay weekend, and so to see it here on the top 12 is not really that surprising. Raging Bolt, I do think it's a little bit still of, like, new toy syndrome, but also this one's just good.
Yeah, and I think people have really started to figure it out. A lot of people have went and copied, followed Sohaib's lead with the Assault Vest Snarl.
Yeah, Raging I saw Bolt. That was in, that made a top 8, right? There were
a lot of them. Yeah, so you had Guillermo Castilla went and had both Snarl and Electroweb on his. The idea with the Electroweb, Jess was telling me about this earlier today, is that the Electroweb, a lot of people are going to want to try to redirect in front of you to try to stop the Thunderclap, and you can punish that by going with a stab spread move that doubles the speed control. So you had that with Guillermo Castilla, and then third place, Eduardo Cunha. He also brought the Raging Bolt. However, he had Thunderbolt, and Terra Blast, Terra Fairy, on as his other moves, along with the Thunderclap and the Dragon coverage. So it is just a generally good, like, I think this is just another change. It's people trying to figure out the best way to use this Pokemon. I know, like, theirs was, like, the Calm Mind set with lefties, the booster set, Magnet, Life Orb. But as we learn, as we go through events and we learn how to use this new Pokemon and how it fits within the metagame, it's going to really start to settle on which item is truly best for it.
So, transitioning from day one here to day two. I mean,
where's the Waterfoo? Yeah.
Yeah.
If I told you that a month, I mean, like, not even like 2 months ago, I told you that a month ago, that we would be sitting here in late January and we would have a day two where single strike Urshifu was over 40%. And Waterfoo is a Pokemon with one of the worst conversion rates of the entire tournament. You wouldn't have believed me.
But, like, I also do think that a big part of that is just the evolution of the format, right? Like,
yeah.
When
there's a lot of things I hate on
it. There's a lot of Wellsprings that are free switch-ins on Searching Strikes.
You have more Amoongus, which always more Amoongus is... just makes things difficult.
And, like, Giraffe can take a Surging Strikes, and, you know, if they're Rocky Helmet, that's a lot of chip you're taking. So, like, between...
Yeah, the Giraffe, of course, the other Giraffe in Raging Bolt.
Yeah, being able to just thunderclap you, like, cool, your Scarf, I don't care. You're gonna lock into something, and you're gonna get hit. Like, one, you don't wanna lock into Aqua Jet in front of me. Like, you're not doing any damage to my Raging Bolt.
Yeah, and you also can't really lock into the Aqua Jet because a lot of these teams, you're seeing 18.5% of the teams with a Giraffe, and then another 15%, a little under 15% of the teams in day two with Indeedee Female, one of the Pokemon that popped up from day one to day two usage. The other newcomer to the board is that Landorus Incarnate, who had it was a Pokemon that really was lackluster. It was like a Pokemon that we expected to do super well early meta, had a lackluster performance in the early regionals, and I think one of the things that's really helping Landorus I right now is the fact that the priority spam team that was very dominant in Portland is now all but dead because of the draft and because of the Indeedee. Like, even Entei. Entei's a Pokemon that we were just waxing poetically about 2 weeks ago that is no longer seen.
Yeah, I'm interested to get over to the lab bounce data to see, like, where Entei even landed. Because, I mean, it's not a mon we've really talked about other than, hey, this was good 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I will say, talking about Landorus, every time I've put it on a team, every time I've played with it, it has been absurd. It has been absolutely just, like, one of the key pieces of the team to make it fully function. I have been trying to preach the Church of Lando I for a while now, and it's just... It's really Carl's fault, if I'm being honest. he had it on the Okie Dokie team that he, you know, won that PC with a couple months back now. And man, Lando is just so good. It hits so hard.
And it's the ground type coverage is really great.
Was a Lando in top eight, right? I'm not misremembering that.
There was... Let me look.
Yes, there was. Over here in fourth on Yarmo's team.
Yep, there was one there. And, like, again, it's like, when you look at a lot of these Pokemon, especially looking at Antonio Sanchez's team, like, the Landorus really threatens a solid bulk of those Pokemon, of the winning team, Antonio Sanchez, playing the same exact six that Wolf ran. Of course, like, the the water foo on the winning team. We were just saying that. Where did it go? Well, it went and won.
what happened to Waterfoo? It won. What of it? It won.
But like looking at the rest of the team, if you're able to get it into position, Landorus Incarnate is able to do between the Sludge Bomb and the Earth Power Sand Seer, you're able to do a lot of damage into a lot of the Pokemon on this team, and maybe that will help it, help the usage of it grow. In the past, I've said that this format, it's Regulation C, but higher power. There was a player whose name is skipping my mind right now, went and actually ran like statistical analysis on the past few metagames. And
yes, I saw that video. I haven't got a chance to watch it, but I did see it.
Yeah, so like he plotted everything out in terms of pretty much showing how powerful, like comparing power and diversity in formats. And so Regulation B is one of the most diverse formats that we've had, but it was a lower power format. We expect more diversity in lower power formats. And then right above it, in terms of the same diversity, however, more power, is Regulation F. So this is work like for people who complain that it's boring, everything's the same thing winning. And this is super weird for me to say when the same exact team has won back-to-back weeks. We are playing in one of, like, statistically speaking, we're playing in one of the most diverse formats in VGC history from, like, Gen 6 on. Like, there is something for everyone out there in this format. And before we get into the teams, and please, by all means, if you see a team that we go over that did super well, go and use it, because there's a lot of really great teams and really interesting teams that can do well. So do you want to just dive it right into the Lab Mouse?
Yeah, let me pull that up so we can talk about that. All right. So once again, huge shout outs to Tim over at Lab Mouse for compiling all this data. It really does just make a huge difference here in not only my life, but just being able to parse data, which is just awesome. Also, huge shout out to Antonio Sanchez for winning the entire event this weekend. Like you said, with Wolf's team.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's classic Waterfire Grass. Like, we've known for years at this point that Waterfoo and Cinrillaboom is just really, really great together. And then, of course, the
speed. Yep.
Yeah,
it's a really good core. It's hard to say the good Mons are good together.
Yeah,
I mean that's literally what this team is, right? It's just here's six very good Mons.
I think the other thing is with the Heartfling Ogerpon as well, you can do that Grassy Glide spam mode. Mm-hmm. It does put out a lot of damage, especially if you get the Swords Dance up and you Terra it. It's just, you're putting out, like, you can get to +2/+3 on this thing super, super quickly.
And, like, sure, Ogerpon doesn't particularly like being intimidated, but, I mean, Urshifu doesn't care.
No.
Rillaboom, you know, you have access to U-turn here, so you can pivot out. Instant, you can Parting Shot, you can get right back out. So, like, it's literally just Ogerpon that's kind of problematic to be intimidated, and then even and still you can just
Dance out of it.
Yeah, you can either Swords Dance or you can just Terra and get your free +1 and go back to neutral, swap back out, and you know, come back in, get your free +1 or whatever, or you know, like you said, just click the Swords Dance button. You have multiple forms of fake out here, and you have your Ferrigraph to give you a little extra protection to be prevented from being, you know, hit with a fake out of their own. Which is also why I really like this evolution of this Fluttermane with the Calm Mind as well. Being able to just get a single boost means so much more for Fluttermane. I didn't catch it. Is the Fluttermane booster speed?
Yes, it is. So it's booster speed. And we actually, one of the interesting things that we didn't see last week on Wolf, when Wolf was on camera, but we did see with Antonio's matches, that we actually saw how this Calm Mind Fluttermane is able to stay in, set up against non-threatening foes and then just threaten
everything. Just
immediate, yeah, it threatens immediate damage. Like, after at least a plus one, you have the speed boost from the booster energy. You're pretty much, it's like once you get a calm mine up, plus the booster energy, it's the equivalent of getting a quiver dance up. And I think one of the things people don't realize is just how absurdly specially bulky Flutter gets at that plus one calm mind. And it's, you're just able to sit there, eat up, soak up attacks, threaten everything. Since you're boosting up your stats, you don't really need to go and invest a lot into your special attack stat. You can just go and pretty much dump
you can it be
once you've hit your calcs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get super, you invest in your HP, you invest in your defense stat, you get super physically bulky investment wise, and then the calm mind just plugs in and fixes up everything else. It's not an easy team to use. It is very definitely positioning based. You need to make sure that you're bringing the right four Pokemon to each matchup. But if you're doing that and you have the experience in playing teams like this, which are heavy pivot, like you're clicking Parting Shot and U-Turn a ton to get your other two Pokemon in position to dish out damage, this is definitely like the team for you.
And I actually think the other interesting part about this is you can also just be like a hyper offensive team in the right situations. You can't just, you know, having, and that's something that the laddering videos I've noticed, is just like a single sword stance or a single boost to a mon is so detrimental for your opponent. One of the laddering videos going up this week is a Blaziken Metagross team that Carl put together for me, and like a single sword stance on Blaziken, then protect the next turn, you just had a double dragon dance. Good luck.
No, again, it's Pokemon that can boost stats are really great, and that is one of the things where these balance teams have been popping up. A team that we'll probably reference later in the podcast that didn't make cut, but like there's been a lot of different balance really developing to counteract the more offensive teams that are the Blood Moon or Saluna teams or the Psy Spam teams, or even to an extent the Gouging Fire teams. Like, it's balancey, but it leans more offense.
There wasn't a Blood Moon in top 8, was there?
No, the top Blood Moon was 10th place. It was, again, the Tail Room team. It was the same team that came in second at, the same team that came in second at Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah.
Yeah,
so and again, then there, Alex Soto down here in 11th with Psy Spam.
Yep.
Like Trick Room.
And we also had Roberto Parenti also came in 6th place with Psy Spam.
I don't remember seeing that team on camera.
It was streamed top 8.
Then I must not have
you might have missed it. It was the second top 8 match.
Man, maybe I did. I don't know. But I don't remember them talking about it. I think I remember the Reggie Drago, but I don't remember the Psy Spam stuff. I could be wrong. Who knows?
It didn't really shine. But anyway, moving to the second place team, speaking of balance, we have another balanced team. This time with a double fire, double grass core, with Water Pond and Rillaboom both being our grass types, and Heatran and Incineroar being our fires. And we also have a fairy core. Fluttermane, Heatran, and Baxcalibur.
Yeah, your fantasy core.
Yeah, you got that. So, a lot of cores on this team, a lot of optionality, because a lot of Pokemon can play different roles in each core. Like, you can bring Wellspring, Heatran, Flutter, Bax, and you can have both cores in all four of those Pokemon. So that's cool. Baxcalibur's super cool to see, I think.
You want to talk about a mon that, like, a single sword stance and you are on the back foot.
Oh, big time.
Baxcalibur, man, it has been a hot minute since I've seen that thing. And man, I thought it was just long gone from the VGC world. I don't know if you know this. It actually got banned from OU in singles.
I did not. It doesn't shock me because it seems like that Smogon just loves banning. Like, anything that's, like, actually good offensively, they're like, no, you have to go play 100 turns of stall. And, or at least that's how I view singles.
To be fair, it was.
Probably runs through everything.
It was too good. It had access to scale shot. It's like.
Oh.
Good luck.
Yeah. I can see how it's more of an issue. I can see how that's more of an issue in singles than in doubles.
How good is a single speed boost on Baxcalibur? You're about to find out. Yeah, it was very not fun to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, I figured Baxcalibur was just being relegated to, you know, Ubers, and, you know, that was gonna be the last we saw of it for a while, but.
Well, it's been popping up on a lot of rain teams as well as the Dragon of Choice to be paired with Arcaludon. So, like, we have seen it a little, but it's weird seeing it off rain.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I lost to a Baxcalibur yesterday that was not on a rain team. So maybe that was a sign to come. Another cool thing, I think, with this team, is this one of the first times we've seen the Helping Hand Incineroar perform this high? So I know that was, like, a big thing people made. It's like, oh, why did they give it Incineroar Helping Hand? It didn't need more good moves. And it was...
Really good, man.
Yeah.
You want to know how you get around all the fake out running around? Have a higher priority tier.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, people will try to, like, fake out your fake outer. And instead of doing that, they'll be like, oh, well, I'm going to help. Instead of me trying to, like, play the fake out war with you, I'm just going Helping Hand, and you faked out my Incin, and now, like, my Fluttermane or my Ogrepan or my Baxcalibur are going to hit you a lot harder than you wanted to.
Which, if I remember correctly, that's actually something that came up in the finals match, is the commentators were talking about, you know, the gentleman's agreement of not going for fake out into fake out user, because, like,
yep.
Why try to fight with the speed tiers? And, you know, yeah. So instead, just mitigating that and just going for Helping Hand instead, which then, you know, was punished by just going for fake out into the other Mon. Like, that's the thing, right? In these open team sheet situations where you see that Incin has access to Helping Hand, you're just not going to go for fake out into it. Like, what's the point, right? Like, if you know it can out priority you, why would you ever click an attack that's just not going to do anything and then take a big hit? So I think Helping Hand is actually, it's kind of a detriment, but also, like, if your opponent sees Helping Hand and they're going to fake out the other slot, you can just go for, like, a free parting shot or whatever, right? Like,
yeah, parting shot and a flare. It's then
just, it's just going for that next evolution of, oh, my opponent is going to obviously make this play because they see what tech I have. They're going to play around the tech. I'm just going to do the other play and just punish them that way. So
yeah.
I do think it adds just a little bit of, like, just that little bit more of a mind game when it comes to, where are you going to click a fake out? Are you going to click fake out? Because if not, I might punish you. If you do, I might punish you again. So, I do think having it on Incineroar is very interesting, just because, like, you're mitigating the damage output from your opponent thanks to Intimidate and Parting Shot, and being able to boost your damage output on a Mon that's not very offensively oriented. Like, obviously, you can do a ton of damage, like Flare Blitz and stuff, but for the most part, Incin's role is the best support Pokemon of all time, right? Like, you don't need it to do damage. That's what the other Mon is for.
Yeah.
So being able to let it do more damage at the cost of clicking your support move, that's what you were doing anyway. Just typically, your support move is damage mitigation. So I think it's really interesting. I'm glad to see it finally have a good result to its name. Now I'm just waiting for knockoff Incin to put up, like, a good result.
Yeah, knockoff Incin's been, knockoff Incin was on the top team.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right, never mind. I'm just dumb.
No, reading
stuff. Girl, you can cut that.
Yeah, no, not well, that's the thing. It's like, it's been like so clearly like you want knockoff because it's an amazing, it's not only is it another utility move, it's a utility move that you can use to kind of pick KOs up with, or at least set up KOs. It, again, especially when you're in a metagame with Frigoraph, it's the third most used move. It's actually used more than Parting Shot.
Are you seeing this? Helping Hand on 10 Incineroars.
You know? 10 out of 250, though. Like it's...
Roar? What are we doing?
Roar is hot. So what Roar does...
is a speed tier above Trick Room, so you can roar out their Trick Room.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it
I've done something similar with, like, Dragon Tail.
Yeah.
I've also done it in, like, Draft Leagues. I've done it with... Whirlwind. I've had Whirlwind Skarmory as like my only Trick Room answer.
Yeah, I think I built a team in like series 10 that had, it was Roar Suicune, and it was specifically for that specific tech. So again, maybe that's something that could pop up more with Incineroar, but the other moves it gets are just so good that
Incineroar is one of those mons that if you could play with every move it has access to, it'd be so freaking good. But, like, also at the same time, I'm really glad that that's not a thing that exists.
Ah, same. I'd say going to the third team, it's sort of a familiar team. The Tailwind offense, Eduardo Cunha. Honestly, this is a team that, like, when you see the... Like, if you saw this in team preview and you didn't have the open team sheet, you would have thought that the Urshifu would have been Rapid Strike. Especially look with how we thought the metagame was going to go, but the Tornadus with single strike Urshifu has been a super popular archetype, and then of course pairing that with Ogre Pond Wellspring and Insane for your Fire Water Grass, the first of the two Assault Vest Raging Bolts that made top four, and the Nasty Plot Lefty's Goldango, which is, I think that's a super, super great adjustment to the metagame right now.
Does Goldango get substitute? Asking for a friend.
I believe it does.
Interesting.
One of the things that's nice with Goldango, I saw this in a Brady Smith tweet yesterday, that he brought Gold... He was using Blood Moon Frigoraph, but he brought Goldango... And his the reason why he said he brought Goldango on the team was because it does, like, the goodest gold ability is amazing to into the Amoongus.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Amoongus was one of the top used Pokemon in day two. The Pokemon continues to have amazing conversion rates from day one to day two, and it's because it's a mix of A, good players are using Amoongus, and so good players want to carry them on, and B, the mon's just a great meta call right now into what is relatively popular. So bringing Goldango as your special attacking ghost type, which can pretty much completely shut down the Amoongus, is huge. That and steel damage is also super important. Everything right now, like, every single team has at least one or two Terra Fairy Pokemon on top of already having the Fairy type in Fluttermane. So, even this team has two Terra Fairies. Going and having a insanely powerful Steel type attack and make it rain is insanely useful right now.
Big damaging move. Good. More news at 11.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything much to add on this one. I do think that the Terra Fairy Terra Blast on Raging Bolt's interesting. And I think that having Rain Dance here is fine. Granted, it's only boosting, like, Ogre Pond, but, like, I think the big thing about it is it's taking away your opponent's Sun, potentially, on these, like proto-Sun teams that have been popping up in popularity, so... I think so, having access to it over... You could probably slap, like, Taunt on there and it'd be fine, but I do think that it's okay.
So in the top four, Ito actually used the Rain Dance to mitigate the damage from Antonio's.
Yes, I do remember that.
However, his Heart Flame. However, it kind of stung him because, like, a turn or two later, he got into a bored state with, like, I think it was Flutter and Rillaboom, and those were two Pokemon that Idu's own Insign would have been able to take out with a Flare Blitz, or at least threatened to take it out, but he knew that he couldn't because he set the Rain up and he was nerfing his own damage. So it's one of those, it's definitely a double-edged sword. I'd say the next, we can go over a slightly similar team, Guillermo Castillas.
We can talk about Hark for a second.
Hark is, so this, like, the team, like, looks balancey, but it really is just an offense team. Every single Pokemon on Guillermo's team is able to put out a lot of damage. The two things to note is that your only speed control is the Electroweb on Raging Bolt and the Icy Wind on your booster speed Fluttermane. And then you have, like, E-Speed and Sucker Punch.
I think that's fine. I do think the big thing that this team has going for it is just the pure offensive output of its team.
And there's also a lot, like, with the Raging Bolt and the Water Pond, there is a lot of bulk and ability to switch in the back.
Plus, you have, you know, your redirection on Water Pond as well, so, like, you can protect whatever threat you're trying to use. I do think that the Landorus here having access to Substitute on a team with only, like, one form of redirection is kinda sus.
It works.
I think it's fine.
The speed tier helps it, where it's fast enough to get it off.
If you haven't been able to tell, I love the move Substitute. It's such a cool move, and you're able to just ignore so much of what your opponent has going on. You know, you ignore Intimidate drops, you ignore status conditions, you're able to resist flinching from, like, Fake Out or, like, a Rock Slide or something like that. The fact that you have just so many different pieces of tech in one move is really good. The problem is getting it set up right. I like devoting a move slot plus whatever your opponent is also trying to do trying to mitigate what your opponent's trying to do so you can safely set up a substitute is really hard. So
I think the big thing with the sub, or at least the one I was using, sub Lando Eye, it's more so on a turn where you expect your opponent to play passive, whether it's a double protect or something. It's a great move to have to pretty much punish them. It's not that you're trying to set the substitute up, it's more so I want to have that in my back pocket where,
correct,
if you have a passive turn, I'm going to punish you. And now the Lando Eye is just a massive issue for you.
Because of the previous 37 reasons I gave, right?
Yeah.
I think this team is something that I would really like to play. This looks really sick. Clicks so many of my just, like, boxes,
which is pretty much just clicking buttons.
Yeah. I like the big damage moves. I like when their health bar go down quick.
So what else do we have rounding out the top eight?
I think it's probably time to talk about the lack of a monkey in the room, huh?
Oh man, I'm gonna clear my throat. I'm gonna sing, guys. I'm a bad singer. Thinking of getting voice lessons. I might do that at some point this year. Bang, bang, sweets, Ben Hammer came down on their head. There are so many people who lost Pokemon in this tournament. We do not care. We're going to say this, just to run this out there as a community. We don't care where you get your Pokemon. We don't care how you do it. But, like, if you're going to an event like a regional or bigger, know where you're getting your Pokemon from. There's a lot of stories, like, on what exactly happened. Bottom line is, and impressive of Nico, Nico made top 8, and he did not have his Incineroar or his Rillaboom boom the entire day 2. He went 4-1 in day 2 Swiss.
There was a good chunk of day 1 he didn't have it too, right? He was 5-0 when
I think that was Fedicampo. If you were a top Italian or Spanish player during this event, you either A, lost a couple of Pokemon, or B, got DQ'd because you lost your entire team because of things.
I blame Swede.
Yeah, that's why I sung. Again, I am so sorry, everyone.
So for those who are unaware, Swede is one of our moderators in LRL, and for a very long time, we had a running joke that he was going to drop the hammer on people who misbehaved. He ended up actually helping judge Liverpool this weekend, and so when we heard about the waves of bans coming in, we very quickly made the joke that it's all Sweet's fault that he's over here banning people for ginning.
Yeah. Or whatever it was, ginning, cloning, whatever it was.
Illegally obtaining their Pokemon.
Yes. Props to Nico though for making it. If you want to throw his paste up, we can talk about the four Pokemon that were actually legitimate. Or at least, like, solid. Which is crazy, because if you pulled this up and you asked me which two Pokemon were the ones that got flagged, I immediately would have said the Darkfu. No, I would have said, like, the Darkfu or the Cresselia and the Raging Bolt.
Yeah, Blessing Cresselia is the one that I would have said. Like, Darkfu, yeah. Cresselia.
Oh, yeah. Or, and, like, I don't know
not if he has, the like, easily Starlet. Readily available breedable bonds.
Yep. The mons that you literally are just given, you can just find them out there. So again, who knows with it? We see another Snarl, Assault Vest, Raging Bolt. This one having Thunderbolt and Dragon Pulse as its coverage moves, along with as its non like Snarl move, along with Thunderclap, Skill Swap. Cresselia, something straight out of 2012.
Can you skill swap Protosynthesis?
No.
You can't, right? Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. We also have the classic Sash Urshifu, and we have the Heavy Slam, Body Press, Iron Defense, Registeel. This Registeel was a problem for Edu in the top 8 matchup in game 1. It did get to a point where if Nico was able to pull off a triple protect, he might have been able to pull it off. And again, like the four Pokemon alone of Cress, Registeel, Darkfu, Raging Bolt are really, really powerful. The issue that led to Nico's loss in top 8 is that when you're set on these are the only four Pokemon I can bring, Edu can bring the exact counters that he needs, and you don't have the defensive backbone that Rillaboom and Incineroar really give this team. Yep. Registeel and Cresselia were great defensive Pokemon, but like in game 1, Cresselia fell on the switch into a double in close combat plus 2 Shadow Ball, and then the same thing game 2 where it just sat there and really never got a chance to do anything and to support the other Pokemon. And then it was like, I think it ended up being like, it was Cress in a 3v1. And at that point, you weren't getting out of that.
Yep.
Especially when one of those three Pokemon is a Goldengo who is just going to boost in front of your face and then knock you out.
Yep. All right. What else do we have in here? Do we want to talk about the Dice Spam team here in top eight?
I mean, we don't have to really dive into it. We talked a lot about the Dice Spam last week. The only interesting tidbit with it is that it had the Regidrago, which is a secondary cool mode to have. But again, it's like, it's just an evolution of a set archetype that we already had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were some interesting teams that were not in the top eight, though. I honestly think, like, one of the teams, while we can't pull it up because it was removed from Lab Mouse, we had two of the top Spanish players from Spain, Eric Rios and Alex Gomez. They brought a balanced team featuring Porygon2, Amoongus, Tinglu, Koma-O, going through in my head, Flutter, and why am I forgetting the last Pokemon?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. This is great. Vamp for me.
No.
Yeah, I'm getting. I don't know why I can't.
Why was it removed?
So the two of them, what I think happened, because like Aaron brought up, why did some people like lose two Pokemon and they still played, but then you had like those two, what's it called? Get DQ'd. It was Incineroar. So yeah, the team again, both of them were running it. AV Tinglu. Lefties Koma-O, P2, Goggles Instant, Specs Flutter, and Rocky Helmet Amoongus. What it sounds like is that the Pokemon were cloned. The Tinglu itself teed everything off, or like informed the judges that something was off. And you need at least four Pokemon to be able to compete. That's why when there were like Pokemon that were banned, again, using Nico still had four Pokemon. So he lost his Rillaboom and his Incineroar, but had everything else. My assumption is, on top of, we assume the Tinglu is one, there were at least two other Pokemon, if not the whole team, that there were issues with. And once you hit that third Pokemon, you can't play anyway.
Yep, at that point, you literally cannot do anything. So unfortunately, that is the end of the run.
And it was disappointing because they both made 7-2, and the Amoongus P2 Tinglu trio does insanely well into the Psy Spam and the it does insanely well into the Psy Spam and the Blood Moon teams.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to get either reverse the Trick Room if they're going hard Trick Room. Your Amoongus really just controls everything in that matchup in terms of putting things to sleep. And the Tinglu is great damage mitigation and can put out a decent bit of damage itself. And then the Koma-O really patches things up. Koma-O, it was the Overcoat. It was Overcoat Koma-O with the Iron Defense Body Press.
Yep.
And it's another Pokemon that does super well into the Fire, Water, Grass cores that like the Wolf team. So maybe if things didn't happen with their Pokemon, we're talking about them going through and actually taking out Antonio and being able to do their thing. But alas, it is what it is.
It's what it's. Yep. I would like to talk about Articuno Snow.
Yeah, throw it up.
Also, to the owner of PokéPaste, can we please get the sprites on here, please? This bothers me much.
It's been a bit.
I am using my infinite wisdom and infinite popularity. What's the word I'm looking for here? Cloud. My infinite reach to make this happen. So if and when it does, I will take full credit for it. Okay. Articuno. This is the only Articuno in the event, and it finished 17th. That being said, there was a Galarian Articuno that I think finished ninth. I think it bubbled.
Yes, it finished ninth and somehow was not piloted by Jamie Boyd. And we will get to Jamie Boyd's team.
I am but we're so gonna excited focus, to see what Jamie's
we're, cooking. We're gonna focus on the Articuno. I think it was at a tournament sometime within the last week. I remember just seeing somewhere like, oh yeah, Articuno, Snow, like it was whether it was a Limitless tour or something like that. It's like Articuno, Snow did well. And to see it do well this weekend is also super cool. It's Snow is an archetype. It's a lot different from the Snow that we saw at the beginning of Regulation E. And maybe because of the vast number of archetypes out there, it's not just everyone running Rain Dance Torn all the time, that Snow has a shot.
I just think it's neat.
Oh, it's very neat.
Really like just Blizzard spam. I think is it again just makes the happy chemicals in my brain happen. I just really like the idea of just clicking the super effective button, even if it's not super effective, because Blizzard's a really good move, right? I do think there's a lot of really interesting choices on this team. You'll see multiple Terra Dragon Pokemon here on the Articuno and the King Gambit, which just gives you a billion resists, right? Like, that's the big reason you're doing it, so you can gain a billion resistances, especially on something like Articuno that has a billion and one weaknesses.
Yeah.
Being able to remove those and give you resistances instead is really interesting. That being said, it does, you don't resist rock. Like, as a dragon, you don't resist rock, which is, you know, the four times effective move into your Articuno.
But it still does four times less damage, even if it's
that is true. But you're still going to probably take a billion because you're not that defensively bulky, if I remember correctly.
Well, I think one of the things that does help is that, like, your rock coverage in general in the metagame right now, there isn't a ton.
It's we like did have exactly some... Hisuian Arcanine.
It's Hisuian Arcanine. There were some rock ponds. You will see
Where's the highest ranking Lando T?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think the big thing is that Landorus-Therian isn't 13. There. Lando T's top placement.
Mighty have fallen. Good lord.
Top placement is 13th on, if you want to pull this team up, an Araquanid team. Oh,
this team is sick.
I love Araquanid. It was a Pokemon that I thought... this is a team comp that I thought was going to be a lot better at early meta. I played a lot with it. I actually think I might have had close to like at least four of these six in my builder.
The substitute issue... leech life is a mood. I'm for this.
I think the big issue with Araquanid is just that it, even with all the boosts, like damage boost, it's a Pokemon that doesn't have enough damage output in this meta because everything is already like the power level is super, super high. So, if Araquanid was in base decks, like if it was even in like Reg C, it would have been. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been like a great, great Pokemon. It would have been a legitimate Trick Room team, and it's one of those things where we just got it a little too late for it to make a massive difference in things.
A piece of tech that Carl showed me for P2. With Terra Ghost and Download, you are going to 99% of the time get an attack boost on Fluttermane. So Terra Blast is now a physical +1 ghost move into opposing Fluttermanes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an Oko, but I mean, you're chunking them really hard.
You definitely... the other thing that people are doing, in general, like, using Terra Blast on the Porygon, it's always going to be Stab. And like the on the Spanish balance team, they were Terra Poison with Terra Blast and Ice Beam. And so yeah, it's like sure, like you don't have the Bolt Beam coverage, but once you get a download boost, I said this last week with the Throat Spray, Hyper Voice, Giraffe, it's like wow, it did a lot more damage than I thought, and of course it does more damage. It's plus one. But the plus one Porygon 2 Terra Blasts or just any like attack like damage output it does, it's more than you think it is. And it does make it a more offensive threat than Frigiraph, especially if you're just running the straight support sets and you're not doing the Throat Spray stuff on the Frigiraph. Like, it does make this P2, it actually can threaten like a 2-hit KO on certain Pokemon.
Yeah, 100%. Man, I don't really think there's anything else too interesting here. Terra Flying Landorus, so you have Terra Blast's stab is disappointing.
Standard.
Yeah, I the fact that Landorus doesn't get good physical flying coverage is really disappointing, and I'm not saying that's why Landorus sucks, but it is really convenient that now that it doesn't have max airstreams running around, it's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, being a Terra Hog hurts it, because at least with, like, Dynamax, see, I said it right this time, I'm actually supposed to be talking with Dynamax. With the Dynamax with the Landorus, it was a bit of a hog there, but like your partner Pokemon was also benefiting from the plus one special defense, from the max round moves, and of course your plus one speed from max airstream. So it was still doing stuff for your other Pokemon by having to commit the Terra and an offensive Terra at that to the Landorus for you it to actually get some legitimate use. It kind of hurts it. Is it now time to talk about the Boyt team?
Oh, my lord. Jamie, what are we doing?
So,
I am a Jamie Boyt stan. This one might be a little too much for me.
So, when we were waiting for the PC to start yesterday, and people were watching the stream, and so everyone's like, oh, it's Terra Electric, AV Gen Pow, and I'm like, all the world teams that like the world teams that people brought that were built by Jamie Boyt had that exact set. I'm like, that's going to be the third most normal thing on this team. Boy, oh boy, was I right. Because when I got to actually see it, Calm Mind, Primarina, Basculesion in the 2024
Basculesion without year rain
of our Lord and Savior.
Oh,
yep, the
Lord.
Adaptability Scarf, Terra Fairy, Terra Blast. What are we doing? Of course, he has
does
to have Gadget the grass
fire out. Outspeed Scarf Basculesion to get the Howl off first.
It's probably specced to do that. I would assume. And so yeah, that's what I have to guess is there. This is a team, and
wild.
The Basculesion does so much damage. The Ogre Pond. Also, the fact that it's a Life Orb Teal Mask Ogrepan, which is very different from the Covert Cloak ones that we've been seeing pop up as instant counters. This one, it's Life Orb. It's like you can fake it out and try to like play around it that way.
I love the superpower,
but it's going to boss you.
Punch the incense. Oh my lord!
Yeah. Corviknight.
All right, I might be back on the Jamie Boyt train.
I'm absolutely on the Jamie Boyt train. This is the thing is though. This is something where if you like you or I like pick this up now, it would probably take us like two dozen games or so to figure it out.
If I sent you this from my team builder, you would tell me you would make fun of me for so long.
I wouldn't
would
make fun of you
there
for
and
so
be like,
long.
What are you doing?
It would have been a solid like 5 minutes. And I think when you're as good as Jamie, you're allowed to do things like this.
Does Jamie offer lessons? I need to know for my sake.
I'll look that up for you.
I already am.
Jamie Boy coaching is like the third thing that pops up. He is on Medify.
Interesting.
Excuse I don't me. Know if he's actually active, but yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I might be reaching out to Mr. Jamie Boyd.
Any other teams you want to bring up or you want to wrap this up?
Let's see. And Jamie Boyd's is just such a good one to go out on.
Like that's because it's legitimately it's only him.
It's so wild. It is genuinely absurd. Just
what's crazy is that he is not the only person to bring Basculesion. There were two others, and all three Basculesion players were all three other Basculesion players were adaptability. What's crazy is that someone brought double-edged Basculesion.
Okay, we're not Terra normal.
So no, the question no, we're is, not. Someone also brought brought Basculesion with Alolan Golem. So that
I did see the Alolan Golem team.
Yeah, as we've said before, it's okay to just use good bonds, guys. You don't need to try to play around like. I have no words. Actually, well, I do exactly see what it's doing. You're pressing explosion to set up Last Respects next to the Basculesion.
You also have Rabska. Rabska to just Revival Blessing your Golem to blow up again.
Yep.
Which again, I'm here for. I don't think this team is particularly good by the 2-7 record, but good. It's great. I love it. I want to see the actual pace. What else do we have here? We're Lepaberry Rabska. This is hot.
Lepaberry Gunksha on the Grafaii, that's also where the double edge is from. Explosion on both Garg and Alolan Golem. And then you also have the Fire Punch. No fighting hip coverage on the Safety Goggles Darkfu. Let's look even more at this Garganacle. It is Hammer Arm, Avalanche,
it's Rock. It's Choice Band, Sturdy Garganacle.
With Terra Normal.
Terra Normal Explosion.
And then the Terra Electric on the Golem. So, like, that's to just get that massive, massive boost on the Explosion. Angela, honestly,
a Golem Alolan, what are you doing?
If you lead that, I see the explosions, I'm double protecting at your in front of you. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Follow up. Why do you hate fun? Today is when I learned that Garganacle gets access to explosion.
Yeah.
Does Last Respects care about how many you bring to battle, or is it just how many have died?
It's how many you've brought to battle, and
So you can't get more than a +3 boost, even if you like Revival Blessing.
I think it's max damage output's 200 base power.
Unless the player to select a fan Pokemon. Oh wait, that's Revival Blessing. I want Last Respects. Its base power, which starts at 50, is increased by an additional 50 each time a Pokemon on the user side faints. It doesn't cap.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay, never mind then. That is
This you know, team is two even games better than I thought it was.
The two games that this guy won
were probably the highlight of everyone else's tournament.
Absolutely.
If you lost a Alolan Golem in Liverpool, please email me. Please message me on Twitter. I need to know. Are you doing okay? If our reach is, you know, far enough to hit one of the two people that lost to a Alolan Golem, then by all means, we did something right.
Wait, actually, go back to Lab Mouse. I think we can go and show one of the cool things that we do. Go to that team.
Oh, yeah.
Hit the drop down.
I'm looking for it.
See, Tim, I listen to you.
Dan Shaw and or Ben Markham. If you're hearing this, please message me. Do we need to do a wellness check on them, too? Dan brought Quagsire. I need to make sure this man's okay.
We got to do at least one more team now, because we cannot end it on just...
You're right, we had to find the Quagsire team.
We're not ending on the Quagsire team. We're stopping at the Quagsire.
He's just a silly little guy!
Is that... That's... Scarf Calm Mind... What are we doing here, folks? Yeah, this is definitely, like, honestly, outside of the Scarf, Chimecho, and, like, the Pokemon, this is definitely, like, a singles sort of, like, team.
Why don't we have Protect on our Toxic Orb Gliscor?
Because it's a because they're playing singles with Gliscor and Quagsire.
Quagsire's not even good. Man, we should be competitive instead of Volt Absorb. I could optimize this team, and when I do and send it to you, you're gonna make fun of me for it too.
No, you're gonna do what you usually do. You're gonna be like, hey, I just recorded with this.
I just recorded with Chimecho, guys. Are you proud of me? So yeah, expect the Chimecho video next week.
Yeah, and actually, I decided at that note, we I don't think we can do worse than this, or better. Also, you promised a Chimecho video to our fans now.
Chimecho's not actually new, so I can't record with it.
Well, you can throw it on with the new Pokemon.
There's nothing new on this team. Gliscor is not new, is it?
No, it's not.
Man.
No, there's nothing new on this team.
I'm going to disappoint everybody, I guess. Sorry, yeah. Guys.
Well, no, I think the biggest loser here is Carl, because he actually has to, like, use the brain power to, like, build this team. Sorry, bud.
All right, you ready to get out of here?
I am. Who's with Jay out? We should have talked about this earlier. You want to do the outro, or you want to make me do a terrible job again?
You know what? I want to hear it.
Did you not listen to how bad it was last week?
No, I haven't had a chance to listen. My week has been very bad.
Okay, so we're going to do this again. Maybe it's hopefully better than last week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for supporting us. You can find us on Twitter at Liver Lessons. You can find us in our Discord. Link.
It's LR Lessons.
At LR Lessons, I should know this. That's
job.
I'm not good at this. I'm the opening guy. I'm not the closing guy. So at
Take
LR
two.
Lessons, on yes. Thank you very much, everyone, for putting up with me every week. I love you all. You can find me, Carter, Carl, Jay, and the rest of the amazing Liver Lessons family at LR Lessons on Twitter, in our Discord, which is linked in the description of the podcast. Please make sure to like, subscribe, and comment on all of our YouTube videos. Give us a 5-star rating on Spotify, a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. If Apple still has their own separate podcast thing, they do.
Google's That's getting awesome. Rid of theirs, and it makes me sad.
I didn't know Google had one, yep. But if you still use it before it dies, do that there too. Thank you very
much. You can't review on Google.
That's That's why they're getting rid of it. If you want to support us even more than giving us a 5-star review, liking, commenting, subscribing, you can become one of our patrons and get a personalized shout out if you're a $10 or more patron, just like the lovely Johnny Bravo Sr. and Papa Swish. Also, you can support us on Discord, because that's a thing now, just like Smeargle does, to get a shout out as well. I think I hit everything. Did I hit everything?
Website?
Yes, you can find us on our website, which is, again, in the description of the show. The website is where all of our event information, whether you want to join one of our Rumbles, be a part of our the current invitational cycle, we're already rearing to go, and like doing a lot of stuff. You want to play some more Mons with us? Join the weekly dojos. Signups for those every single weekend. They're super fun to do. Get a quick best of three in with another community member. Make a new friend. And I think that's it.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Bye, everyone.